Welcome to the Up to the Challenge podcast.
Hey, hey, what's up? It's Azisu back again, and this is E-Society Presents Up to the Challenge. On this pod, we challenge each other to watch something, movie, TV show, documentary, or whatever, as long as it's streaming or available. Then we'll discuss what we thought and present the next challenge. This is episode 21. Today we'll be talking about Anon and Amityville 2, The Possession. But before I go any further, he's up to the challenge. It's the Nez!
Yo, yo, everybody. Welcome to the show. We're back up to the challenge. We've been away. Well, away with up to the challenge, not away. With
right, right. Yeah. Just took a minute. It was late March. I think March 20th. Was the last time we did it to Sicario. So.
All right. Well, I'll kick it off.
Sure.
This is 2018. This is a Netflix original. And this is Anon. This is directed by Andrew Niccol. And it stars Clive Owen and Amanda Seyfried.
Yeah.
Whatever. Karen Smith from Mean Girls. For those of you guys don't know, I was just watching that. But questions before we go into this, or before I go into it. Was this in the theater, or was it just directly streaming?
Straight to Netflix. Yep. It was one of those that, like, one weekend, like, they featured it up top. So I saw it and threw it, like, on the list, and I let it sit there for a little bit. And when I watched it, thought it was definitely worth the challenge.
Okay. Anon. Anonymity? Is that how you say
it?
Is the enemy. Set in a new future, in a near future world where there is no privacy, ignorance, or anonymity. Our private memories are recorded and crime almost ceases to exist. In trying to solve a series of unsolved murders. Dang, Siri keeps going off. Sal Freeland stumbles onto a young woman who appears to have subverted the system and disappeared. She has no identity, no history, and no record. Sal realizes it may not be the end of the crime, but the beginning. Known only as the girl, Sal must find her before he becomes the next victim. This film was, it took me a little bit to really get into it, because it's a slow burn, but it's an interesting slow burn. It doesn't just jump into action and boom, 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 boom. I mean, this is, okay, sci-fi, would you say?
Yeah, definitely sci-fi for sure.
Okay, it is a science fiction thriller film. Okay, I'm cool with that. I loved it. I thought it was awesome. If I would have seen this last year, it might have made my honorable mentions list.
Yeah.
I love Amanda Seyfried. She's good, and not everything I've seen, but majority of the stuff that I've seen. I really love her in Mean Girls. Clive Owen, I can take him or leave him. But he was really good in this. There's other people in this, but I have no idea who they were. So the premise of this film is Clive Owen is a cop, and I'm not going to say the ending to this, because I think you guys should check it out if you like these type of films. In this world, it looked like they were in New York, but I believe they filmed a lot of it in Toronto. Every now and then you see the skyline, and you can clearly see that it's New York, but there is some kind of stuff that's implanted in you. What are they called? Advanced biosyn implants. Means everyone is subject to a relentless visual stream of information they called the mind's eye. Privacy and anonymity, as well as we know it, have vanished. So they have these implants in you, and it records everything you do. I mean, go to the bathroom, go to work. I mean, just get up or whatever. Every time your eyes are open, it records. And so basically crime doesn't exist because they could see what you do. And you're basically your privacy. There is no privacy. There's nothing. Like, let's just say my wife wanted to see what I did all day. She can easily go into go into my head at any certain time and see everything I did. Scratch my butt, yep. Scratch my balls, spit on the sidewalk, anything. And I was like, whoa, this is not cool. So, yeah. I mean, you can't do anything unless you just don't care what people see. It's like basically the internet in your head.
Yeah.
So that's what it was. But everything, it's downloaded into a vast grid called the Ether, a database which law enforcement can access and use to prosecute criminals. So there's some murders. They don't know what's causing them because somebody, like, but computers, there's hackers that can hack pretty much anything. Somebody has hacked the little implants they have in their head. Yeah. And it can basically erase themselves from you, because Clive Owen is walking down the street and then he sees this glitch and he's not too sure what it is. So he kind of goes, and these guys go in and they look and they say, okay, there's something here. But when they try to go back and look at it, like, it's erased and they don't know what's happening. But when these murders start to happen, this hacker is able to get inside. Like, if I was going in to kill someone and I was the hacker, I could go in, hack whoever I'm trying to kill so they can't see me. What it would do, it'd be reversed. They would see what I see. So as long as I don't walk in front of any mirrors or anything that can cast a reflection, no one would know what it is. So it's kind of like a first person type of deal, because when the gun shoots, you just, if you play those first person games, you just see the gun and then fires and then that's it. I assume I'm explaining this right, but it was cool. I liked what they did. The reason I asked why, if it was in the theater, this movie's like the long letterbox, not the ones that can fit your frame. You still have the black bars, so it's shot with a wide lens. But every now and then, I mean, when the people that, like, Clive Owen was looking at somebody, the whole screen would fill. So, like, if it was shot in IMAX, the way that the camera goes back and forth. So it was weird, because I was wondering, why is it going back and forth so much? But then I realized, oh, okay, when they, whoever is talking or whatever, when they're looking forward, the whole screen would fill. Then when we'd go back to the cameras filming the movie, it was letterboxed. So
right.
I thought it was really cool. So I'm sorry, everyone. I'm still my cold, and I'm mighting my mute.
So yeah, no problem.
So you're not hearing me cough. That's why there's going to be these little pauses. But overall, I thought this movie was really good. It was really interesting. I tried watching it when I was at work, but so much was happening. It was one of those movies you have to pay attention to what's right. going on. And plus,
you might lose some detail.
Yeah, when Clive Owen, when he's looking at somebody, all these little things are popping up, and you can read them really quick. But I think watching them on your big TV, you can really see it. On my phone, it'd be like super duper small. So I started it at work, and then when I got home, I just restarted it, and so I could see everything. But overall, man, I thought this movie was awesome. I really loved what was going on in it. I'm not going to say the ending, because I don't want to ruin it for you guys. It's right. something I think, if you like these sci-fi thrillers, do definitely check it out. I would have seen this in the theater if it was. Yeah. I mean, I never even heard of this film until you brought it
right.
up. So.
Yeah, they really didn't push it much at all. It was on there for like a weekend, and I didn't really see any media cover it, no podcast, you know, or anything. So, yeah, it really went under the radar.
This I mean, this, if this was to happen now, no way it would happen. I mean, just, it'd be awesome to stop crime, but yeah. It would be like, if you're just one of those guys or gals that just likes to go out and do shady stuff, you'd have to stop all that, because there's no way. I mean, the thing that I thought was weird is anybody could see, can just go into your head and look at your files of where you were or what you did yesterday. Or I don't know how far back they can go, but that was weird. It was like nobody had any privacy. Whatever happens to anyone on the planet, anyone could get in and see it. So I thought that was kind of creepy. Like, who would pass this law to, like, everyone get these implants in your head? That's what I'm like, I don't know. I mean, because it wasn't like there was chaos in the street. It was like, I'm not sure what year this was set, but it was obviously in the future. But there wasn't there wasn't like flying cars or laser guns or anything. It was still what we had here. I mean, everyone still had cell phones. Oh, wait, no, there was no cell phones, because what you could do is, if you wanted to call someone, you could just like text somebody. If you just start, I'm gonna text the Zisu. Hey, what's up? And it would just a pop on his vision. I don't know. It's crazy. It's kind of a little hard to explain. But if I'm selling this good enough, man, do check it out. It's a Netflix original, and it's well worth the time. I want to watch it again because there was something that I missed. But I want to go back and watch it all. But overall, man, this movie was awesome. Check it out on streaming on Netflix. I'm sure it'll be on there with all the other original things. But
yeah. And it's been a minute since we recorded our last one. So I also just want to give people a heads up, especially if, you know, you're in a family with kids or anybody impressionable or anybody you don't want to offend. There is a little bit of nudity in this, just a little bit of toplessness. So just so you're aware, just so you're not like, whoa.
Yeah, there's nudity. There's two sex scenes, and not really graphic, but enough.
It just might catch you off guard.
Yeah, enough. So, but
yeah,
definitely check this movie out. Like I said, it's streaming on Netflix, and I think it's way worth your time. Don't be tired, because you really have to pay attention to what's going on and what's on the screen when they show all these little things popping up that you could see through somebody's eyes. But this guy Andrew Niccol, I have no idea what he has done, but I just thought it was an amazing film. When did you watch this?
I think January. Yeah, so that's one of the reasons. Yeah, I didn't mention it for last year's like honorable mentions, like you were saying. But yeah, it was on my list for a while. That was the thing. It was just sitting there, and it was one of those like, let me watch this. I actually knocked out a few, and that's the one that really stuck out. That's why I was like, oh, this will be perfect for the challenge, because I watched like three things on my list, and that was the one that really popped. I was like, that was cool. I liked it. So, yeah.
I'm on Letterboxd. I join that every once. So if you want to, I'm not sure how that all works, but I'm on there. So if you want to follow me, just look up Macnez and all this. But the reviews on here, it's kind of like an IMDb type of deal. But from what I understand, this is where the cool kids are. So it's not getting very good reviews, except for make one.
Wow.
Like, there's like 2 stars, 1.5.
Wow.
1 star.
Shocking.
What did I give it? I gave it 4 stars. I mean, it was good, but there was times where it was dragging. But I mean, overall, it is worth a watch. I don't know if I'll ever write reviews on this thing, but I do give it ratings, and this is what I'm going to use now for every time I watch something. So, cool. But definitely check it out. It's streaming on Netflix, and that is Anon.
All right, time for my challenge. We're going back to 1982, Amityville 2, The Possession. A family moves into their new home, which proves to be satanic, resulting in a demonic possession of the teenage son. Only the local priest can save him. This was directed by Damano Demani. I think I'm getting that right. Starring James Olsen, Burt Young, Rutanya Alda, Jack Magner, Andrew Preen, Diane Franklin, Moses Gunn, Ted Ross. Probably enough of the cast. But yeah, if you know me, this isn't the kind of film that I normally seek out. But I do it for you. I do it for the Nez. Up to the challenge. And man, I gotta say, like, I had this on, and before we get into the details of it, but just to paint the picture, like, I had this on, and there's times in this where it's like, you know, screaming and like stuff like that, and I was like, I don't know, it's just something about it. I was taken aback. I was like, I can't believe I'm watching this. You know, so, but you know, gotta respect it for what it is. The interesting thing also, before I get into the details, was I just brought this up on IMDb, and usually for the older movies it's hit or miss where they have the Metascore, and this one does, and surprisingly it's pretty low. 34 on the Metascore, the highest score coming from the AV Club, with a bunch of 38, 30, 25, 20, kind of surprising, but, you know, I don't know. Before we get also into the details, is this one of your, of the series of Amityvilles, is this on the higher end for you?
This is my number one out of, out of the first three. After this one, it just got, or after Amityville 3D, it just got ridiculous. I'm looking at a list right now. There's 23 movies. I want to say this is the,
I didn't know it was that many.
There's movies, there's TV films, and I don't know. The list is crazy. Amityville Horror, second Amityville 2, The Possession, Amityville 3D, Amityville 4, Evil Escapes, The Amityville Curse. Amityville is in all the title, but I'll read the little things. It's About Time, A New Generation, Dollhouse, Haunting, Asylum, Death House, Playhouse, Vanishing Point, Legacy, Terror, No Escape, Evil Never Dies, Exorcism, Prison, The Awakening, Mount Misery Road, and Amityville Murders. I know the first three were in the theater. There's a remake that came out in 2005. That, I think that was the one with Deadpool. Ryan Reynolds. And then there was two more after that were supposed to be in the theater. But never made it. Amityville, The Awakening. I thought that one was pretty good. I liked it. There's a new one that came out last year. I have not seen it yet. The Amityville Murders. That one is more of a prequel, as well as this one. Amityville 2, The Possession. It was supposed to be a prequel to the first one, but I don't know. It kind of made it seem like the first one, the original film, happened already. But I don't know. This is supposed to be based on the DeFeo family, which was the true case that happened before the Lutz families came in. So, have you seen any of these? I mean, out of the original one or before this one?
None that I sat down like I did for this one and watched the whole way through. But yeah, just for what you were saying, I actually have the poster up right now, and it has the description. It says, the night of February 5th, 1976, George and Kathleen Lutz and their three children fled their home in Amityville, New York. They got out alive. Their living nightmare shocked audiences around the world in the Amityville Horror. But before them, another family lived in this house, and they were caught by the original evil. They weren't so lucky. This is their story. That's a lot of text for a poster. They don't do that anymore.
No. I met the young woman that's in this, Diane Franklin, the daughter.
Right.
I met her at Sinister Creature Con in Stockton, California.
Okay.
A friend of the show, Mike, and I, we both went, and she signed my Blu-ray. And I'll get to what she had said with one of the scenes in this, because that was something that was really fresh in my mind. But before we do that, I'll let you let the Zizu here let you know what he thought about it.
Sure. Yeah. It's since it has been just a you know, weeks since the challenge, I had to pull up a little refresher to make sure I hit the points. But yeah, basically, to jump into the story, Anthony Montelli and his wife Dolores move into the house of their dreams with their children, Sonny, Patricia, Mark, and Jan. Things go well at first, but everything changes when it's discovered there's a tunnel in the basement leading into the house from an unknown place. Evil presence is shown to be lurking. After unusual and paranormal activities, like unknown forces banging on the door, ugly demonic message painted on the wall of Janice's room, Dolores tries to have the local priest, Father Frank Adamski, bless the house, but an argument breaks out with the family. That was like one thing that I thought was it felt like unsettling to jump in and put my own thoughts on this, was that those elements, like the actual like kind of like family drama, almost like domestic violence, almost, that definitely was a little bit rough to watch for sure in this film.
Yeah, I mean, it was it other than what happens in the end, I mean, Paulie from Rocky, that's all I see him as. Burt Young, for those of you who don't know, he was like a really commanding husband, commanding father. He just had no problem of forming his own kind of parental whatever on his family, like beating his wife. He was he was beating his wife with a belt. And slapping his kids around, and he like would really stand up to his older son.
I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I mean, other than what's happening in this with the whole spirits in the house, I mean, it was kind of like two different horror stories in one, with
the real stuff being actually in a ways more scary.
Yeah, with the domestic violence that he's brought upon his wife and the kids, it was rough. I mean, even the very first time I had seen that, I was thinking that, and I was kind of like, whoa, this is that was more scarier than what was happening
no doubt.
When I first watched, or any time I watched this film, I think of weird, crazy things. It was something that I couldn't do. Man, I couldn't beat my wife with a belt, or much less slap my kids around with a belt and everything. So,
right.
Yeah, again, like I said, this is two different horror films, but
yeah,
that's just something that's happening in the film.
Right. So, yeah, they try to invite the priest in, but that doesn't go well. So as the stuff in the house, you know, he's the father of the house, he's, you know, strict, abusive, and sacrilegious towards the church. So, but this is, I had a feeling this is what you're hinting about. And this is the next thing in the synopsis that it gets to, is the incestuous relationship between the brother and the sister. That's also pretty rough. I was like, this is a tough watch.
Yeah. I mean, when I first seen this film, I was kind of like, ooh, wait. The actor that played Sonny Montelli, Jack Manger, I believe his name, and his sister Patricia was played by Diane Franklin. She was the lady that I had met, and I had asked her. I mean, that was like the only question really I had when I was talking to her. I mean, like I said, this is my favorite one out of the original three. And I didn't know what to say. Like, I just went up to her and said, I'm sure you get this question a lot, but how was it to film that scene? Or I said, when you read it in the script, I don't know if she was over 18 yet, or, well, I think she was, because she bared some of her chest. So she had to have been over 18. So, but I was thinking, what were you going through? What was going through your head when you were filming this scene? I mean, they don't really show like the whole act, but it's like kind of the beginning of it. And it got real eerie and it got weird. Like, wait, what's going on? And they do go all the way. They don't show it, thank goodness. But, excuse me, I was like, what? Yeah, well, how were you feeling? Well, what was going on?
Yeah, it was definitely uncomfortable to watch. I forgot basically the big plot point of the reason why, basically, though, because the church, you know, when it goes bad with them, the family's actually supposed to go to church so they can get right with the father, but the sonny, the kid, the brother of the family, he stays home and says he's unwell, and he goes downstairs to get his dad's gun, and, you know, hears laughter and it's an unseen presence, but, you know, he falls victim to the demonic possession, and that's what leads to the incestuous scene.
Because he kept hearing voices. I mean, he kept feeling things. He wasn't sure. Doors opening, slamming, stuff like that. But then there was something that was following him through the house. And these are in the days when you wore the headphones. And he would hear things. Like, there was something telling him to kill them all.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was hearing voices, all that. And that, I mean, that's what the guy said from the original case. He said that he heard voices that was telling him to kill them all. Quick little history on the house. It was a house built way back in the day, and the person that lived there and owned it, he was catching the local natives in that area, and he was killing them down in the basement, like sacrificing and all that. That's why the kill them all, basically kill all the Native Americans that were around there. I got all this from some little documentary that I watched. And that was why, like, I kind of curious. I want to see that. The house is still there in Amityville, in New York. I want to see it, but as far as going up to it or going in, nah, I'm good. But
yeah,
I still kind of feel eerie that I want to see it. I mean, I don't know. I'm just like one of these guys that like to go to. They didn't film any of this over there.
Are you a dark tourist?
Not like that one dude. But I think it's just more curiosity of, I want to see this house. But then I'm afraid of what I'm going to feel there. I mean, there's been times where I've gone to places that felt real eerie, and then find out later that something terrible had happened there. But
right.
I it's just my curiosity. Our friend of ours, our brother Sweet Rob, rest in peace, brother. We miss you and we love you. His dumbass, we ought to go there and spend the night. I'm like, hell.
Oh,
I'm like, no way. I said, they're killing Indians in the basement. And now I'm good. But you know how crazy he was.
Yeah.
But he was dead serious. He was like, man, we should go there and see if we could spend the night. I was like,
no.
I'm cool.
Nah.
But and that's just my curiosity. I want to see the house. The house is there. It did have some renovations. The what they call the eyes. If you know what this Amityville house looks like, it looks like it's got two eyes. They don't, those windows don't look like that anymore. If you go and just type in Amityville House, to,
is The Hills Have Eyes connected to this?
No.
Oh.
So, but it's just a creepy looking house. They built it numerous times for the other films and everything. Yeah, so the demonic possession was taking hold of him, and like I said in the original case, that guy was hearing voices, what drove him to murder his family. That's why they're saying this one was kind of a prequel to what happened in the original case. So, but I don't know if you're done with your review yet, but yeah, that's what she told me. She just said, I looked at it as a job. And it's just a scene I need to film. He goes, we weren't related, so I didn't feel anything weird about it. But I'm sure she had to have felt some. She was a young, struggling actress. She was in a film. And I don't know. I don't know if I could do something like that. I mean, knowing, okay, yeah, she's supposed to be your sister, and you guys are just pretending. Yeah, I don't know, man. But That was the question that I asked her, and that's what she said. She goes, I knew what I was doing. It was a job, and I did it. It wasn't they didn't show any actual sex scene or anything. It was just basically her taking her top off, and then they kissed, and then the rest of your mind can picture the rest. But she said, no, yeah, I did feel a little weird doing it, but she said it was a job, and I was just acting. I was doing my part. So, right. But Diane Franklin, if you're listening, I love you, because I can't. I couldn't do that. I had some other things to say to her, but I had mentioned it on another show. She was in this movie called The Last American Virgin. And if you guys have seen that, how she was in that, I hated her. I hated her for years until I finally got to tell her why. Watch Last American Virgin with Diane Franklin, and you'll get what I'm talking about. But for those of you that have seen it, you know why. I won't tell the Zisu here. Maybe I'll find it somewhere, and it'll be a challenge.
Yeah,
it's a comedy, so it's not
right
scary or anything. But yeah, continue.
I need more of those.
Well, your next one isn't a horror film, so okay. But yeah, continue.
All right. Yeah. So the Sonny becomes more sinister and demon-like. His face starts contorting demonically. He tries to keep the family away, but unsuccessful due to the demon's influence. On his birthday, he isolates himself, calls Patricia to checks on him. He does the demonic thing. Sonny sends her away using foul language. Yeah, that was that. Yeah, that like really that scene like caught me. Like, oh, okay. Like, I get it, demon, but then you know, I thought actually this was the big like climactic scene, and then there was actually more after this. But when the evil spirit tells him to kill them all, he gets the father's rifle and shoots his parents, Jan, Mark, and Patricia, after hunting her down. The next day, the cops arrive, pick up the bodies, and Sonny is arrested. I thought the movie was going to end there, but then there was more. I don't know if you have anything to say about that whole scene before I finish it off.
It was an eerie scene, because the way Sonny's face started to look, I mean, they're going back a little bit. He had noticed that his arms were starting to like bubble up, and his neck would start to swell up and everything, and his face looked all crazy. Shout out to the guys that did the special effects. This is
impressive.
No CGI. This was all in the all or nothing days in the early 80s, where it was all practical effects. Yes, it does look cheesy. I said when I watched this on Blu-ray and nice HD, and it looks awesome, but you can clearly see how cheesy it looks. But hey, that's what they did back in the day. For you younger listeners, we didn't have all these fancy computers. I say this all the time, everyone. So if you're new to the show, you're going to listen to me complain a lot. But I liked what they did with the special effects of Sonny when he was changing into all that. So, but The scene at the end when he just goes on his shooting rampage was, it was rough. Killing his mom and dad, killing another. They got Patricia last, but he shot his younger brother and his younger sister. That was pretty ruthless.
No doubt. And that's why I thought that that was the climactic scene. I was like, oh man, rough ending. But then there was more.
I mean, because that's what happened in the true case. I mean, when the cops go in there and get him, and he was like, I don't know what happened. He just totally blacked out, saying, I don't know what it is. But then later he does say that there was stuff that was bothering him and telling him to do it. So I don't know if that guy, the guy in the real case, is still alive. I mean, look it up. If you want, but if he is, he's in prison. He's not walking around the streets. So, but yeah, I thought that scene was pretty ruthless. I mean, it was creepy on how Sonny looked, of him just lurking around with this big rifle, just taking out his family. So yeah, me too. When I first saw this, I knew the end. We already knew the ending because we knew how the story ended. But it was like, the movie was that a whole scene when he murdered his family was done. The cops got him. But then there was probably another, what, half hour left of the film, you say? Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what was surprising because, yeah, once they come and get him, and I honestly assumed he was going to get put in the car and that it was going to maybe have some text and that was it. But no, there's this whole, like, you know, he's in the jail and the father, the priest, Adamski, visits him and asks if he can, he asks the church if he can perform the exorcism on him. And they refuse, not believing him, but he takes upon himself. And after freeing him from police custody, which is... that was obviously very movie-like, but you also got to remember it was a different time, the 70s and the 80s, and it was actually more likely to be able to do something like that then than obviously it is now. So,
yeah. To jump in really quick.
Sure.
In that scene, the father, Father Frank Adamski, I think that's his name, I don't remember.
Yeah.
He goes in there and he's talking to Sonny, and he kind of knows that there's something wrong, some kind of force is there that made him do this. Because when you see Sonny, when the cops are taking him away, he's like, he's got this, I don't know, look on his face. I mean, and plus the father knows the stuff that was building up before that tragic event, of the mom trying to reach out to him, Patricia trying to reach out to him, and he knew something was going on there. So when he's talking to Sonny, he's like, Sonny, just his face got all crazy and he started speaking in another voice. There was that other cop, the black officer, he was a detective. He was in there. So he saw it all. Because remember, he's the one that helped him let Sonny escape, or basically let that priest take him. I'll give it to that guy. I mean, yes, this is Hollywood, but I'll give it to that detective. He just handed him that gun and said, look, hit me right here in the back of the head with the butt of the gun and do what you got to do. Then he just spun around. The father just, I don't know how hard it takes to knock someone out with the butt of a gun. I don't want to know that feeling, but
yeah,
I'll give it to that guy, man. He took one for the team and just, and then he went down, and then the father got Sonny out. So yeah, he's loose now. Continue.
Right. So, yeah, once he has him, he tries to take him to the church where the Sonny attacks him, and there's a whole back and forth between them, and before he finally is able to perform that exorcism, and he does release Sonny's soul, and the cops arrive, and they still take Sonny away, but the exorcism is done. But little do you know, of course, twist ending, and I assume they went on to make another movie about this, especially after all the ones you listed off. But the demon has transferred itself into Adamski, and without revealing his fate, it shows the house is put up for sale, leading the next victim to fall prey to that crazy house.
Yeah, I did like the ending. I mean, that priest went in there to just, he defied the church and the Vatican and all them, because he was trying to say, look, I can go in there and do this. But then they were like, nah, it's going to make us look bad. No, just let this guy sit and rot in jail. I don't know nothing about the Vatican. I know nothing about religion, but I don't know. Movies like this always try to not just these type of films, other films always try to make the Vatican out to be this evil, not evil, but just this place of just, they want nothing to do with wrong in the world. Because right. I've seen other movies with possession, and it always going, they can't just go to the church and talk to the main person. Whoever the leader of that church is obviously has to connect with the Vatican and get permission from them, because nobody can just go in and do exorcism. The little bit that I'm talking about right now, I get this all from movies. So I don't know if it's true or not. But they were like, nah, they don't want you to do it. But he goes in there because he know he has to save this kid. So that's why he goes in there. Basically does what the father does at the end of Exorcist, made that evil force come out of Reagan and go up to him. So that's what Aminsky does. And you see him sitting in the house, and then he looks at his arm and it starts bubbling, and then the film is over. Okay, said and done, overall, would you watch this again, and just, did you like it?
Yeah, you know how I am about it. Like, definitely not my, you know, favorite, but, you know, when you do up to the challenge, you know, definitely try to soak it in for what it is and look at it through another lens, you know, not normally what, you know, I don't judge it just in that way. I actually try to look at it through, you know, different eyes. So, you know, for what it was, like I said, definitely not for me. And there's a lot of parts where I was like, oh, yikes, and very uncomfortable. But at the same time, like, I think maybe I was able to respect it more, too, because of the age of the film being from 82 when I was 3 years old. So I don't know. I was able to like respect it in that way as just a, you know, film from another era.
The real guy, his name is Ronald DeFeo Jr. He's straight out of Brooklyn. He got, it was 6 counts of second degree murder, 6 concurrent sentences of 25 years to life. This guy's going nowhere. he was booked, and his mugshot was November 14th of 1974. So yeah, man, he's sitting in jail somewhere. it was a crazy story, man. If you go and watch other documentaries of the actual DeFeo case before the Lutz family came in, the Lutz case was the first movie, the Amityville Horror. In the beginning of that one, I'm just telling this to Zisu because he hasn't seen it. It starts off with DeFeo Jr., Ronald DeFeo Jr. killing his family. You just see boom, boom, boom. And when the real estate agent is walking Margot Kidder, rest in peace. She plays the mom in that, as well as and James Brolin is her husband. They're walking through the house, and they're like, every time they open up a door, oh, in this room is so and so. This nice bedroom, and then the film stops, and then they show the guy walk in with a gun and shoot his mom and dad, shoots his sisters and brothers, and it was crazy. I didn't see that one in the theater, the original one. I saw that when it came on TV, so it was all cut up. But later, with the help of Showtime, I saw the original rated R version. But I had seen this one, the part 2 in the theater, And yeah, it was creepy back then. It's still a little creepy now when I watch it, but like I said, it's my favorite one. Amityville 3D is cheesy because it was fresh off of Jaws 3D as well as Friday the 13th Part 3 that was in 3D. These are the polarized versions, not the old school red and blue 3D glasses. These are how it looked. And it was one of those films where, hey, look over there, and then they point in the camera. It was one of those type of 3D films. I watched it recently because I bought the box set of the trilogy with the first three films, and I like it for what it is. It's cheesy and everything, but it's still, to me, it's a part of horror history. And like I said, there's 23 different films and or anything deal with Amityville horror. I haven't seen all of them, but the ones I have seen, I did like the remake. Like I said, I liked the first three. I liked Amityville: The Awakening. I haven't seen the latest one yet, but the other ones in between, there's a found footage one, which was terrible. I know there was one about a dollhouse. I couldn't even get through that one. And I had seen a couple, I think it was like Amityville Terror or something. That one was, I know a lot of these, the low budget ones, they're on Amazon. So if you want to brave any of those, I don't recommend them. but this one, Amityville 2, The Possession, this one's streaming on Amazon. So yep. If we're selling it good to you and you haven't seen this, yeah, we basically told you the whole thing. But yeah. Like I said, if you know the case, you knew what was going to happen. So.
And it's from 82, so.
Yeah, so. Yeah, man, I guess that's about it for that one. Unless you got something else to say.
No, just that, you know, in a weird way, like I said, one of the things I can appreciate, even if I'm not always a fan of the film, is, you know, I'm just a fan of movies and entertainment, and Up to the Challenge always gives me a reason to watch something, you know, I don't normally watch. So even if I'm not always a fan and I'm dreading it, you know, hey. I can add it to my list. I've seen it. All right. Ready for some new challenges?
I'm sorry. My mic was was off. But yeah, on to our next challenges. What do you got?
All right. I realized that in my intro, I'm always saying, you know, whatever, and one of the things I say is documentary, but I don't think we've done one yet. So I strive to find two. So without telling you what they are, do you want something a little more upbeat or not?
I don't care. If you think I'll get through it, then I'll check it out.
Well, I mean, they're both good, but would you rather have something a little more positive or just a little more? They're both interesting.
I don't care, any of them.
Okay, well, I guess on that note, I guess I'll go with the other, since you didn't take the upbeat. Not that it's just different. Hulu. Three Identical Strangers. It's a documentary.
How long is it?
Let's see. Is it an hour and 36 minutes. And this is one, definitely don't read into it before you see it, because interesting things happen. So
I haven't.
The less you know, the better.
Well, I know a lot about this because I was listening to somebody talk about it. Okay. I haven't seen it, but I know what it is.
Okay. Well, we'll see what you think.
Yeah, I'll check it out. All right, I am going to let me see what year this was. 2005. I'll have to send you I'm sending you the link right now. This is Green Street Hooligans. It stars Elijah Wood, Charlie Hunnam, and a bunch of other people you'll probably recognize once you see it.
All right.
This film is awesome. It's not a horror. It's kind of a dramatic type of film. I just sent you the link on Messenger. Yeah, this is the clear copy on YouTube. That's the only place that I've seen it. I don't know if it's streaming anywhere else. But this copy is clear, and it's the whole film.
Nice.
It's not in two pieces or anything. But this movie is awesome. I'd seen it a while ago. I mean, I think I want to say Courtney's the one that mentioned it to me. But yeah, definitely check this film out, dude. Well, you have to.
Cool.
It's up to the challenge.
I better get to it. You never know too when they pull it. This reminds me of probably what was my favorite challenge you've ever given me. Very unexpected, the class of 1984. That's like far and away my favorite challenge you've ever given me, because it started out and I was like, what is this? Was this like an after school movie? What is this? But then like when it really got going and into it, I was like, this is incredible. How have I never heard of this? Like, that was amazing.
Well, this one's got a little more of a budget, but
cool.
but this movie is good. I think it was, this is before I knew who Charlie Hunnam was. But this movie is awesome. I love it. It's just about buddies that are down for each other. This takes place over in Europe somewhere, and England.
So, all right,
but yeah, the link I sent you, it's the whole film. It's not split up. There's some links where it's cut up into a couple parts, but this is the whole film, and it's pretty good, man. I mean, the quality is good, the sound's good. It's not all choppy or anything.
So right,
check that out. It's been on YouTube for years, because every time I watch it when I'm at work, I go to YouTube and it's still, it's been published. It's been on here since 2015.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but definitely, dude.
Probably not going anywhere.
Yeah, if it's not gone by now, unless YouTube's listening to this.
And yeah.
Goes in there, take it out. But yeah, dude, definitely check it out, man. If you, let's say, watch it quick so we can bust out the next one and not get it.
Yeah,
get everyone.
This one took whatever. Like I said, the last one we did was March 20th before this. So.
Yeah, but all right. Zisu's got Green Street Hooligans. There's a part two. It was all right, but no, it didn't have what this one did.
Yeah, I'll dig into
with
this first one.
The young Charlie Hunnam. I mean, when I met him at Comic-Con, everybody knew him for Sons of Anarchy. But when I met him and I talked to him, because everyone was, Sons of Anarchy, this and that, Jax. And when when it was my turn to talk to him, I said, dude, you were badass in Green Street Hooligans. And he looked at me. He goes, oh, right on, mate. He goes, yeah, man, that movie was awesome to make. And
nice.
I like that when you bring up obscure. I guess you could say this is obscure, that not too many people know about this. But it is. It's got a big following. A lot of people do know this, but some people don't even know, had never even heard of it. But he was like, oh, man, yeah, that movie was awesome and this and that. I froze up when we met Elijah Wood. we didn't get to say much to him about it, but this is probably my favorite film that both of them are in. But yeah, check it out, Green Street Hooligans. And what was the name of my challenge?
It's on Hulu, Three Identical Strangers.
All right, so if you guys got Hulu, check that one out. And I know everyone's got YouTube, so check out Green Street Hooligans on YouTube.
Cool.
So I'll put the link up also on the Facebook page. So if those of you guys want to, this is the good version. I'll throw it up on there so you guys can check it out as well. If I'm selling it good enough. So I have nothing else, man. And I'm glad that we busted these out, man. I'm glad.
Back to the challenge.
Yeah, we're back. We're back in the place to be, everyone. Sorry for how I sound and the coughing and all that, but it's just. Being sick sucks and I hate it. So all right, yes, I just threw the Green Street Hooligans on our Facebook page, so if you guys want to check it out, go for it. And yeah, we'll come back hopefully really soon with the next one.
Definitely.
Party on, everyone.
All right, yeah, have fun, be safe, and stay up to the challenge.